Welcome to the Let's Clear the Air Energy Podcast. Conversations focused on how some of the world's top energy leaders are innovating to deliver clean, affordable, and reliable energy for the future. Your hosts are energy and climate expert, Dr. Andrew Parker, and midstream industry veteran, Adam Murray. Now, here are Andrew and Adam.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to season two of Let's Clear the Air Energy Podcast. Andrew, how you been?
It's been too long, my friend. How are you?
We're hanging in there. Dallas is treating us good and life is all right.
I clearly have not caught on to the home office swag yet. You've got your sweet ass painting in the background. I've got a dead orchid on a bookshelf. So I've got some catching up to do.
We're definitely going to be discussing the Peloton back there or the Nordic Track bike or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a Nordic Track. I'm team Nordic Track. So
love it. Love it.
But speaking of that, let's clear the air, right? Icebreaker, the two of us. I've got a question for you. If you had to go to one of the two oil patch hubs, West Texas or North Dakota, which one would you rather go to?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, early in my career, living in Denver, I probably would have said North Dakota. Didn't mind the cold. After 6 or 7 years here in Dallas and being in the heat and getting used to it, because every time I go to Colorado now, I'm cold. I got to say West Texas. I think it's sort of where it's at. It's also where I got my MBA, so I'm a little biased. But
it's the Denver bias aside, I would probably choose North Dakota 10 out of 10 times. I mean, I did spend a few years in the Bakken and I thought it would be a death sentence. And I almost lost a couple toes one winter, but I just fell in love with the Bakken and the landscape and the people. I think there's just like there's a ruggedness that I don't think North Dakota gets enough credit for what it is. And that's not to discredit the Permian, because the Permian's incredible in its own right, but I've got a soft spot for North Dakota. So,
oh man, last time I was in North Dakota, I think it was like negative 38 wind chill and my eyes were starting to gel over because they were so cold. So definitely been there.
Anyone who's ever worked in the Bakken will know that, and they can appreciate the rookie mistake I made my first winter in the Bakken when I tried to go out and do some field work with steel toe boots. And steel toe boots are a big no-no in the cold in the Bakken. So I had to learn a couple lessons the hard way. But anyway, season two, we're back.
That's right. Better than ever.
Back and better than ever. And I think we're going to have a pretty awesome season two. But maybe before we get into setting the stage for some of the guests and topics that we want to get into, maybe remind folks a little bit about what we covered in season one.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to, you know, look back at what we did last season and take some highlights from there. I mean, you know, energy systems are changing rapidly. I think we talked about the airplane analogy. I'm trying to remember which episode now, but you know, as it changes, it's really hard to switch gears and change things when you're actively creating energy for the country and for the world, for that matter. So, you know, changing a part on an airplane while it's flying isn't exactly the easiest thing to do, not recommended. And so similarly with oil and gas and the energy business, you know, we're making changes all the time. And sometimes those are slow, sometimes they're rapid, but it's important that we get the right people in the room talking about the right things. And, you know, having these type of conversations where we can share lessons learned, we can share things that experiences that we've gone through, just like your experience in the Bakken. I hope someone, you know, that hasn't been there learns that, right? Similarly,
for sure,
as we've delved into this inflationary time period, you know, energy equity and equality, we talked a lot about that. I believe that was with Tricia and Petro Nerds, but, you know, ensuring access and reliable and affordable energy. I mean, actually, Scott Tinker talked about that a lot as well. And more, we just need to work on keeping energy affordable for everybody. And so I think that's pretty important. And certainly will be a topic of conversation moving forward. Always with Texas being in the news about all the cold fronts that come through and kind of knock out all of the energy systems, reliability, again, continues to be a pretty good topic and a pretty important topic. Knock on wood, Texas made it through this winter, so they must be doing some things right.
Is winter done yet?
I don't know.
I guess technically it's spring. Spring happened like a day ago, right? So, I mean, I know that maybe for y'all in Texas it's done. Yeah, look, I mean, I was reflecting back on season one when I was getting ready to jump on to do this episode. And man, like, I kind of got to like pinch myself at some of the guests we spoke to last season, right? Like, you mentioned Scott Tinker. We had Robert Bryce. We had Tisha Shuler. We had Jim Kilber. We had some incredible people join us to talk about some of the topics that you were just mentioning. And yeah, like having to outdo ourselves here in season two is going to be a challenge, right? And so, you know, maybe to set the stage, I mean, I think all those themes, energy equality, energy reliability, you know, the energy transition or transformation, whatever people want to use to call it, right? Those are all going to be continued themes that we discuss moving forward because they're narratives that continue to shape the conversations we're having in the energy industry. And maybe a good place to start some conversation is we ask a lot of our guests at the end, hey, in 3 years, you come back on the podcast, what's made you happy about things in the energy world? And so I'm going to ask you first, in the 6 months or so since we've done a podcast, like what's made you happy, if anything, and maybe what's made you a little bit upset in terms of the energy sector?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, we ask good questions. But, you know, I think the conversation continues to be this pendulum that swings back and forth. And the feeling of, you know, the discussion of energy tends to swing positive at times and tends to swing negative at times. And, you know, specifically around fossil fuels and the oil and gas business. But I think that's probably the best and the worst part over the last 6 months, right? So I think we're starting to see a little bit of, I don't know if I want to go as far as calling it pushback, but certainly the ESG message, whether it's E, S, or G that are getting challenged, they seem to be being questioned and challenged a little bit more by, you know, hopefully some pretty smart people that can back up their thoughts and their conversations. But, you know, so I would say early on, I think it was tough because people, you know, challenged the industry and people were sort of questioning what was going on. And over the course of the past 6 months, I think the pendulum has swung and, you know, people are definitely starting to realize like, hey, I need to be able to afford my heating bill. I need to be able to afford my electricity bill. And so right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm not the one to answer that full conversation, but I think it's important that, you know, we recognize that it changes all the time and we're just trying to do our best. And I certainly think everyone's still pushing to be as environmentally friendly and socially friendly and deal with all the governance that's gone on over the past 6 months. But I'm glad to see that people are starting to ask the questions about why we're doing things, how we're doing things, and who's doing them. So it's important.
Not to take away from the ESG movement, but right, feels like ESG was something that occupied folks during the COVID pandemic, right? Like it kind of feels like it caught fire. Now you're seeing a lot of companies start to walk back commitments. I saw an article the other day talking about greenwashing, right? And all these companies that a few years ago were making all these aggressive pledges to be, you know, net zero by 2030 or whatever. And they're all kind of awkwardly silent on it or even outwardly going back. I think you're seeing a growing disconnect between what the government's trying to push people to with regulatory policy and what industry thinks is best going forward. A couple examples of that, right? Oxy, I think, abandoned a major carbon sequestration project they were investors in for a long time.
Right.
You're seeing, you know, more recently, to put a timestamp on this episode, in just the last few days and weeks, the Hertz CEO had to step down because of the basically blunder that they made buying all these EV vehicles that no one wants to rent or drive, and they're expensive and have no resale value. And so I think you're starting to see that almost the gap start to increase between, you know, industry. I think industry for a long time was kind of like, we kind of need to like message this based on what we think the public wants. And now they're actually seeing that maybe what the outward facing narrative is and what the consumer actually is willing to pay for are completely different. And you're starting to see, I think, a correction back the other way as you make the pendulum reference to, you know, a different state, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I just, you know, deep down hope that, you know, you find a balance where we can continue doing as good as we can and continue making operational and industry improvements across the board, right? I mean, you and I sort of talk about oil and gas and natural gas specifically, but, you know, I'd like to see how solar and wind are adjusting and RNG. We haven't even gotten into other sources of methane and energy sources yet. You know, there's geothermal, there's, you know, we could talk about anything in the energy business, but, you know, in an effort to clear the air, I really hope we try and get the pendulum to, it'll never stop swinging, but if we can kind of keep it as close to balance as possible, even in the public discourse, I think that's maybe a hopeful thought, but, you know, that's the effort anyways.
Well, I think it was Scott Tinker, episode 3 last year, who coined the term the radical middle, right? And it's phenomenal. There's so much polarization and hysteria on either side of this conversation that, you know, if you sit somewhere in the middle, and that's, I think, one of my goals for this season is to hopefully help people that listen to us understand that it's not as black and white as it may sound like in the media, right? Like it's very polarized. There's lots of hysteria. There doesn't appear to be a whole lot of gray space. You're either on one side or you're on the other. And the reality is that it couldn't be any farther from the truth. And being part of that radical middle that understands the necessary role oil and gas and energy companies are going to have to continue to play in our daily lives. And quite frankly, the role they're going to have to play in continuing to reduce global emissions is critical. And at the same time, I think we can probably appreciate that we're not all going to die if we're not net zero in a few years, right? Like we are resilient and we will continue to find ways to adapt. So hopefully that's something that, you know, as we engage more thought leaders on this podcast, that's a message that I really want to get across.
Yeah. And one part that I forgot to bring up or didn't want to gloss over too much is the fact that, you know, it feels like for a long time, regardless of the administration in the White House, a lot of energy decisions were being made by a lot of people that didn't know a ton about energy for a while. You know, I know we've had some really good folks as energy secretaries and various different things, but I mean, it's just interesting to hear our elected officials talk about energy when they're not really talking to people that work in the energy business. And so the good news is I think I've seen more people getting engaged. I know you and I are both pretty active on LinkedIn and stuff, and I've been trying to recognize the people that are speaking out publicly, letting people know good, bad, and indifferent things just to keep speaking and thank them for doing that. Just because, again, just like this podcast, I think it's important to just keep the conversation. I don't think we're trying to come up with an answer or solve the world's complete problems, but just being real and sharing the story of how energy is created and spread throughout the world. It's good when the people that know that business are talking about that business publicly.
I was just having a good conversation with some folks yesterday about, you know, how these topics are communicated. And there's such a major disconnect between, you know, the people in the field and the people in the offices and the towers, right? Denver, Houston, Calgary. And, you know, I think we really owe it to the people at the ground level who are turning wrenches and, you know, to tell them that this, you know, I think they see this as an attack on their livelihood, right? We opened talking about Midland and we talked about Williston.
Yeah.
If you're in North Dakota, if you're in Williston, North Dakota, I mean, if you don't have oil and gas, what do you have? Right. Right. And so I think a lot of people view this as, you know, an attack at their livelihood. And I think it's quite the opposite. I think there's always, you know, regardless of whatever the energy profile looks like going forward, there's going to be additional opportunities for the workforce to join the show. And so I think that, yeah, to your point, it's an important message to get out, and one, hopefully you and I are effective. I know I've kind of actually taken a bit of a backseat to some of my LinkedIn activities lately because, you know, climate is a pretty hot button topic, and that's my area of specialization. And it's just not worth, you know, I don't want to let the trolls win, but it's also like just not worth some of the ridiculous commentary that people end up putting on your post. It's just like, it's just not worth the battle.
Yeah. You can't dig into the comment section, man.
I know. Like, is there a way on LinkedIn to turn off comments to your post so then you can just like, it can just sit there?
No. You can limit it to the people that you're connected to, but I think, I don't think you can turn it off completely.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. And that's one thing, one person we're going to have on at some point. And I wanted to do it in season one. We didn't. Getting someone to come on, talk middle of the road climate, not someone who's going to come in and tell us we're all going to die in 10 years and not, you know, someone going to come in and tell us the science is a giant hoax, but like, let's have a real factual based conversation and level set. Cause I do think there's some pretty interesting, you know, advancements and science that's come out in the last 6 months about, you know, the state of the climate system. And, you know, if Steve Koonin is listening to this podcast, you would be a fantastic candidate to come on and join us. We'd love to have you. His book is probably one of the most balanced books that I've read on the energy and climate, you know, situation. So.
Well, let's call it out, man. If any of our listeners have a good connection, and I'm certain you and I will be reaching out to them, but if any of our listeners have a good connection, let us know, and we'd love to have them on. And as with all, every episode that we have, I think it's important to take the feedback from, you know, our connections, our friends, our listeners, our families that listen. And if anyone continues to have recommendations of who we should have on, please reach out. We'll definitely do our best to remain balanced and have as many people on as we can.
So you want to tell people a little bit about season two topics, where, or not topics, format. So we're adding video this year, right?
Yeah. Welcome to YouTube, everybody. You can see us face to face. I think I was thinking about putting it on video, you know, as we were approaching today. And I think it's good, you know, to kind of put faces to the names. We're just regular people, right? I don't feel like I'm anyone special. I don't think I'm anyone special to people other than my family, but you know, we're just trying to have the conversation. So putting a face on it certainly isn't a bad thing. We're not hiding.
Good deal, man. Well, look, this is kind of a season two tease, right? We wanted to kind of refresh the podcast and people's LinkedIn feeds and social media feeds and let you know that a new season's on the way. We've got some great guests who are going to join us, talk about energy transition and all sorts of different topics related therein. So
permitting, we're going to talk
permitting. Permitting. Yeah. Apparently permitting is super important. So we will have someone on probably in the first few episodes, talk permitting. Anything else, Adam, to add? You want to take us out?
You know, I'm just glad to be back. I want to thank our listeners for joining again. This is a short kind of get back into the swing of things episodes, but it's certainly a little more fun to be on the video. You and I were always kind of chatting on video and going back and forth, but I'm glad to see, you know, I guess I better choose my attire differently next time, but glad to see we're on video, and I hope that catches on as well.
Awesome, man. Well, appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to you again soon with some new episodes here coming in the next few weeks. Take care.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Let's Clear the Air Energy Podcast with Adam Murray and Dr. Andrew Parker. If you like what you have heard, subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast app. you can email us with questions or comments to Let's Clear the Air Energy Podcast at gmail.com.